So the idea of stories of the kingdom really comes from the parables of Jesus. And so over the next six Sundays, we're going to be really looking at six different parables that Jesus taught, saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. And so today we begin one of them. Now, what's great about this one is this is one of the ones that are more prominent that you know. And what we want you to really see is how to rightly understand what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And really, to really picture this is you're going to see a way to assess where you are as a follower of Jesus. And so with that in mind, I want to read this verse that really pictures, that really frames it for me, that's really been convicting this week. From Proverbs 27:19, it says this, "As in water, face reflects face." And so back then, they didn't have mirrors, and so they would use water to kind of see what they looked like. And so as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. If you really want to know what his heart is like, you will see it by the way that he acts. And so this picture here, so the parable that we're going to be looking at really is helping us understand where we are as disciples of Jesus Christ with obedience and surrender, whether or not we're really truly following after him. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at the parable of the sower found in Matthew 13. So if you would turn there, we're going to begin in verse 1. And I want you to see this picture with me in verse 1. So it says, that same day, and so we see that phrase, and so that phrase does something for us. It keys us in on the fact that this is a continuing context of what we've already talked about in the previous chapter. So that same day, the writer Matthew puts this down. What happened before that is something we need to think about, and that's where we get the teaching of what it means to be like a family member of Christ, right? His mom's there, his brothers are there, and he said, no, my mother, my brother, my sisters are the ones who do God's word, right, who obey and follow after his commands, okay, the one who does the will of the Father, and those are my family. So that same day, so it's the picture, the context is about obedience and about following after him. And so it says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got in a boat and sat down, and a whole crowd stood on the beach. And so just to kind of picture this scene, Jesus realizes there's a bunch of people coming, and so instead of him just standing there at their level, what he does is he gets in the water and kind of uses just common sense for him, because he's Jesus, because he's cool. Anyways, so, and he uses just amplifying his voice off the water so that everybody on the beach could hear the words that he is saying. So that's the scene. Verse 3, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them, and other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And notice this invitation. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. So he gives this incredible story, this parable, right? And these people hear it, this big crowd hears it. And then all of a sudden, what happens, notice in verse 10, it's like a side conversation happens with his disciples. And his disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? We just don't get what you're doing, right? Verse 11 says, and he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, not even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. And here's why. Notice verse 15. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears they can barely hear, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see, and hear what you hear and did not hear. Now, a couple things we want to frame here is he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah. And if you remember the story of Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, God in his grace gives him a vision of the throne room of God. Okay? This is at the beginning, verse 1 of chapter 6 of Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted up. So he sees this incredible experience, and then he gets like basically a coal from the fire on his lips, touches his lips and realizes how sinful he is, and he repents, has this great moment. And then the Spirit of the Lord says, you know, who will I send? Who will communicate this message to the people? And Isaiah's like, here I am, send me. And what's the message? What am I saying? Go tell, speak in a way that they don't hear. Say things that they can't see, that they can't understand. This is your message. This is your mission in life. Awesome. Go be a failure. And that was the call that Isaiah had. And we see how that went. So that's where he's drawing from this picture of seeing. And he talks about the fact because their hearts are dull. They're just incapable. They got too much blockage, too much in the way for them to hear and rightly see and understand. So what we want to do for a minute is picture this, give a picture of what the Bible refers to when it refers to the heart. A few things. The heart, as described in the Bible, is primarily a spiritual organ that drives our behavior. It's kind of where it comes from. It reveals our spiritual makeup. It is the place where emotions and desires begin, which drive our will towards action. In simplicity, your heart is your true self. So with that in mind, we see this image of the heart, and we're going to see what Jesus does as he parallels your heart to the types of soil in this parable. Verse 18, look at this with me, back in Matthew 13. Hear then the parable of the sower. He explains it. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. So notice what happened. The soil, the seed went down, but the enemy came in and snatched it away. And then he says, this is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but he endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. That's key line there. And this is because their dullness of heart, and they cannot hear rightly what God is calling them to. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Now, here's what I want you to see. This parable is in the context of obeying the word of the Lord. This is in context of one who follows after God as Jesus is our Lord and Savior, right? And you want to be his disciple that makes disciples. But part of that is obeying him, laying down your life for his, saying, I want to be like him. And so obedience is the picture. And when that happens, obedience produces fruit in your life. Okay? Now, sometimes people kind of equate this as, you know, other people come to faith as a result of you. Yeah, that's a byproduct. But it's like pictures of obedience, of sanctification taking place in your life that corresponds with you following after Jesus. It's a change and transformation over time. And this is a picture of you being a disciple, one who chases after him. So with that in mind, I ask you, what type of soil are you? Based on your level of faithfulness, based on your obedience and surrender as a disciple of Jesus Christ, God's word planted in you, are you the soil in the path? The soil in the rocks? Just being honest. Are you the soil among the thorns? Or are you the good soil? And again, it really is about fruitfulness. That's what the picture shows us. And so the path, that type of soil. See the birds grab it and snatch it away. And I'm going to call the soil on the path a superficial or shallow soil in reception of the gospel. It's superficial. It's shallow. Like, it really is just whatever's convenient for you in the moment, that's that reception of the gospel. The one among the rocks is one that pictures no real depth because the hardness of the ground didn't allow it to really take the root that it should have or could have. And so I'm going to call this particular type of soil temperamental, right? It's a temperamental, doesn't matter what, you know, you think about all the things that happen in life, normally a person of faith would really endure, but a temperamental reception of the gospel is one when there is tribulation or challenges or setbacks in life, or someone, you know, says something about you and your faith or the fact that you're part of a church culture or whatever like that, and they just ridicule you. Well, you're going to fall away if you're part of this temperamental reception of faith. And many of us, if we're honest, like that's kind of how we bargain with the Lord. If things are going well, we're all in. If things aren't, you may not see me. And then the third one is among the thorns. And I'm going to call this one a transactional soil. This is one who looks what they can get for themselves. This is one that really shows no real fruit because it gets choked out by the cares of the world. Really, it's all about themselves. If they can use being part of a church culture as leverage or networking for who they are, then that's who they're going to be. But no real fruit is there. And then finally, the good soil. And I'm going to call that transformational soil because there is transformation that takes place. They no longer look like they used to look. God has done a work in them. But with that in view, here's the problem. Soil and heart being what's being equated here, Jeremiah 17:9 kind of lets us know the rub here. The problem is the heart is deceitful above all things. So the soil that we're talking about is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So that's the problem. What do we do with this? And so this is what's really interesting. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, he kind of really illustrates this picture of the work of the Spirit of God because we have these hearts made of stone, Ezekiel says. And what we need is a work of the Spirit that gives us a heart of flesh that can rightly respond in faith to God's words. And so because our heart is desperately wicked, we need this change to take place that we can't scheme on our own to make happen. It's something that God does in us. So Jesus shows this type of following, right? Following after him begins with the heart that is ready to receive whatever God has rather than what they want for themselves. And the way that happens again is by a work of the Spirit of God in them. And being a disciple of Jesus is not simply a one-time commitment. Now here's what's great. We got to celebrate with Aiden this incredible story of what God has done in his 13 years of living. But Aiden's going to have to choose Jesus for the rest of his life, every day, to follow after him. And if you're like me, and you've been following Jesus for a while as well, you have to do this every day, moment by moment. When the temptation to do what does not reflect God's goodness in your life happens, like, you have to choose. And this is a work of the Spirit of God in you. So part of the reign of God's kingdom here that we're talking about in these stories of the kingdom is Jesus reigning in the hearts of those who follow him. It's really Jesus reigning, like he is Lord of your life. And this parable teaches that the condition of the heart matters. Where your heart is matters. So receiving the gospel message, because it can only flourish, like really grow in good soil. So one of the key features of the house that we live in, you know, almost 7 years ago when we moved into it, we were excited because the family that sold us the house, they kind of walked us through all this cool stuff in the house and all that stuff. We were excited about all the bookshelves, the places to put books, but we were excited about all the fruit stuff they had planted. And so there's peach trees in the backyard, there's plum trees, and by the way, we hadn't got any of that. And we were so attracted to that, the blackberries and all this stuff. And up front, around this one tree, is there's strawberries. But the strawberries are being choked out by the blackberries. The thorns are kind of like really keeping any strawberries from actually growing. So we don't get to enjoy that. And this is the picture here of what happens. And so the question for us is, how are you responding to the gospel? Not just like in a meeting where it's emotional, you're at camp and, you know, everything is about it. And it's like the last night of camp and, you know, the speaker, you know, gives you an opportunity to respond and you wait a few minutes and then again. And then one of your friends says, man, I think we should respond. And you respond and that's the time. I don't know if you've ever had that, but I've seen it once. I was a youth pastor. Okay. So, and then that's one of those crazy moments in youth camp, which is super cool and super fun, where really, that's the only time you really hug your friends. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, because you won't hug them like that at school. Guys, that is, right? And so, you come, you have that commitment, and then all of a sudden, when it comes to, like, putting rubber to the road at school, that commitment is nowhere to be found. And it's okay to say that for kids, right? What about us as adults when our boss isn't really reflecting the goodness of the company that we thought that we were working for, or that person who really finds a way on the cubicle next to us to really grate our nerves because I don't know if he knows this, but corn nuts are not quiet. And you have to really choose, am I going to follow after the gospel and the goodness there or not? And so I want to kind of give again some scripture that helps us see these pictures. Again, that Proverbs 27:19, as in water, face reflects face. So the heart of man reflects the man. And then notice this is stated twice in two different places. Matthew 12:34, Jesus kind of rebuking here to the Pharisees. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you... Can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, which means your heart is filled with a whole lot, right? But out of the abundance of it, your mouth speaks. So who you really are comes out. And then in Luke 6:45, it says this, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For here it is again, right? For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You ever had anybody say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. No, you meant to say it, because that was what was in the heart. That's what you really are, is being exposed and seen. So here's what's cool, crazy science experiment. Take this, Bill Nye. If I open this lid and shake it up, what comes out? Water, right? Thank you, guys. I'm like, I don't know what he's going to do. Okay, the reason why water would come out is because it's water. When life is hardest, when here it is, when the defecation hits the oscillation in your life, they got it now. Okay, I just wanted to see how long it took. Like here's real talk. What comes out is what's on the inside. The gospel is an inside-out work, and you need to know that. You could fake it on the outside all you want for as long as you want, but you need to know. You let something that you didn't plan for interrupt your schedule, interrupt your life. Who you really are will be seen. You need to know that. Like you didn't plan for yourself to get that phone call from the doctor that you did not want to happen. You didn't plan to hear that terrible news from the police officer at your door. You didn't plan to get fired from your job. You didn't plan for your spouse to leave you. You didn't plan for these things. How will you respond? And really, it has to do with what kind of soil you are, where your heart is. So again, what comes out is from within. This is an inside-out solution. It's not outside-in. And he even talks to the Pharisees and calls them whitewashed tombs. And if we're honest in the church, many of us are whitewashed tombs. We've got this presentation that everything is okay on the outside, but on the inside, we're just death. We have, this is cool, a responsibility to provide a hospitable environment for the gospel to grow in our lives. A hospitable environment. Here's what I mean. If you were to come over to our house on County Road 41 and say, okay, I want to come in and experience the hospitality of the Pollards, right? You guys talk about this. This is great. Here's what's going to have to happen. first of all, my wife's going to be really mad at me that I would even dare to invite anybody. So we'll get over that in a minute. So thank you, Re-Engage, for being there for us, right? And so we have this, because there's eight people, this is the reason why we have six kids to clean up the house. And so we're spending an hour in this room because it needs it. Holy moly. We spend 2 hours in this room, and then your bedrooms, please do your best just to hide everything. And so that by the time you get there, here's what we've got. We've got smiles on our faces, right? And we're grateful that you're there. And we encourage and we coach, make sure you smile, look them in the eyes, shake their hands, welcome them. And Aaron, make sure you do it too. And so, that's my wife. And then we welcome you in, and we've created an environment for hospitality so that you could feel welcome. This is what the call is. Do you create a hospitable environment for the work of the gospel in your life? And again, this is the Spirit of God moving in you, but you have to make willful choices of obedience every day, deciding every day that this is going to be who you are. So a couple of things that kind of illustrate this point for us in Proverbs 4:21. It says, speaking of God's word, let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. Proverbs, two verses later, Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, right? Pay attention to it, for from it flow the springs of life. Or two chapters later, Proverbs 6:21, bind them on your heart always. Bind them or pierce them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. Like, keep God's word around you. And then the one that most of us learned when we were kids, right? Psalm 119:11. I have stored your word up in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right? It really is you choosing the word of God every day. And learning it. So, I don't know about you, but I love practical steps. And so, let me give you that. Here's some practical ways that you can begin to create a hospitable environment for God to change the soil of your heart. Pray the scriptures. And by the way, you can't pray the scriptures if you don't know the scriptures. And if you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one. Always a plug for free. We've got them in the back. But man, pray the scriptures. Second, memorize the scriptures. I share this story, and it's so important that you understand the value of this in my life. So I'm working on 28 years in the ministry, okay? Like 31 as a follower of Jesus. And when I was a kid, well before I trusted Jesus to save me and redeem me and to follow after him, Edna McCormick, Joanne Waldrop, and Carol Woodward would give us pencils and cheap erasers from the Christian bookstore if we memorized scripture. And every Sunday on the corner of my mom and dad's bed, okay, before my nana, my grandmother came to pick me up because my mom and dad weren't believers, Jack Jenkins, my stepdaddy, would help me remember scripture verbatim, chunks of scripture verbatim, not knowing that decades from then I would be preaching about the benefit of memorizing scripture. And it has shaped and formed the soil of my heart all these years later. And guess what? Two decades after those moments, Jack Jenkins gave his heart to Jesus. And God was using me trying to get my leverage on these pencils and cheap erasers to be able to pour into my dad's heart. So I'm just telling you, like, this work of the soil of our hearts and preparing a hospitable place for that isn't just for us. God uses it. Like, I have no idea how many people God in his grace has allowed me just to see and be part of their lives and their journey. Just because Joanne Waldrop said, hey, if you memorize this verse next week, you get a cheap pencil. She didn't say cheap. But like, that's what I did. And I still got them. They're still up here. I'm going to have to dig sometimes to find them, but they're there. So pray the scriptures, memorize the scriptures, study the scriptures. Foster community around the scriptures. Like, this is one of the, like, when we're asking you to connect in a community group, a group at Grace, do you have any idea what's our win? Like, we're not, like, getting kickbacks and commission for you being in a group, okay? We're encouraging you to do that because we know that if you connect around the Word of God with other believers, it will benefit you and them. It will change and transform your lives. Yes, it is a sacrifice. I'm not going to lie to you. But I promise you, it will be part of forming you into the man and woman that God has called you to be. I promise you, it will benefit you and it'll benefit those around you. Honestly, I had no idea how beneficial the barn would be for me. But studying around this big old stinking long table, this conference table, with these men in director's chairs and plastic chairs, it has shaped me as a man who desires to reflect that to my wife and my kids. And I'm just telling you, if you don't have a group that you're connected to, you are missing part of what God has designed you for. And so foster community around the scriptures and obey the scriptures. Obey this, because that's part of the fruit that God's producing in you. So church, I want to pray for us. And as I pray, I just want to pray for your hearts that you would begin to just analyze it and assess whether or not you're making a hospitable place for the word of God to grow in you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this. We praise you for your kindness, for your goodness, for the ways, many ways that you have provided like little areas so that we can rightly know you. Father, I pray that you would just guide us in this moment, just even if it's just making a commitment to creating habits so that we can really no longer be the soil on the path or the soil on the rocks, no longer be the soil among the thorns, but actually by your power, through your grace, be the soil, the good soil that receives and produces fruit. Lord God, this is a work of your Spirit in our walking in obedience as disciples of Jesus to do it. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.